podcast this morning. This is Deborah Berg, and with me today I have a gentleman from Chicagoland area. His name is Michael Pink, and he is the owner, in conjunction with his wife Sharon Porter, of MAP Real Estate Incorporated, which specializes in representing tenants, commercial tenants in the Chicagoland area. And Michael has a very interesting and unique concept of helping nonprofits in the area of fundraising. He has created Investing in Communities, which is an organization that partners, promotes and supports social responsibility and partners nonprofits with business using a unique fundraising strategy. Welcome to the call, Michael.
Thank you.
We're excited to hear more about this, and I know nonprofits these days are really interested in any new possibilities for funding, and but I also know that they're interested in partnering some with business more, but they often don't know how to do it. And you've put together a strategy that seems to be working, and I'm all ears. So maybe you could start out by telling us a little bit about your background and MAP Real Estate, and maybe gradually go into how you developed IIC.
Okay. I founded MAP Real Estate almost 24 years ago and have for the last 23 years run it with my wife, Sharon Porter, who is my business partner.
Mm-hmm.
We began investing in communities as a business program, which we initiated after we had been in business for 9 years. We wanted to differentiate ourselves in a very crowded field. We wanted to drive business, and ideally we thought that if we did it in a way that we had in mind, it might allow us to have a good reason to feel good about ourselves. And so the business practice, Investing in Communities, has now been transformed into the Illinois 501c4, which is a web-based social enterprise. And we achieved all of those objectives through the business practice, and what we have created now, we hope will enable many, many professionals, beginning with real estate, to achieve the same objectives and at the same time benefit the world of NGOs and give the world of individual and corporate supporters of NGOs a new way to support their favorite organizations. But in the instance of Investing in Communities, this new way will come at no personal expense to all of those supporters.
Wow. I mean, that is just ingenious. And it's been working for you on a personal level. And I know you've given, or MAP officially, I guess, has given $275,000 to nonprofits over the years, and you know, client nonprofits and so forth. What now? Tell us a little bit more about how you've managed to do this with your particular business, your commercial leasing tenant rep business.
Well, we realized that there were a number of factors which might enable this to work in the way that it has. Competition within the real estate profession and the need for NGOs to generate visibility for themselves and generate funding which results from visibility. So for MAP Real Estate, we simply made the election that we would make available part of our commission on each transaction, and the money would go to charity. This really was an experiment, and the experiment couldn't be defined in these terms. We wanted to see if we would make more money by giving money away every time we made it, and it worked. And it may seem as if it's a perpetual motion machine in the negative sense, but we feel that it truly is a perpetual motion machine in all of the hoped-for good senses. Mm-hmm. So we believe that we have generated business for ourselves, for our company, at a cost which really comports well with the cost that businesses generally incur for the group of activities which result in new business, marketing, sales, promotion, advertising. And what we were intent on doing was to give money to support worthy organizations as opposed to buying advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
And so the model now has us needing to be a 501c4 so that we will be free to, even as we discharge the social aspects of our mission, we will be able to promote for-profit entities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in a sense, when you give 10% or more of a particular transaction of your profits in a transaction, that you're saying that that money ends up going back in the community, spreading goodwill, probably referrals, and so instead of spending that 10% investing it in advertising and expensive ads and so forth, you're getting really more back for the 10% you've invested in the nonprofit than you would in your traditional advertising route. Is that what you're saying?
Sure. That's one way of saying it, but that's actually only what has occurred up to the point of creating Investing in Communities, the web-based social enterprise.
Okay.
We feel that MAP Real Estate generated significantly more business than the number of dollars that we have given away. Mm-hmm. And I need to qualify. Our model had us giving 10% of the gross, not 10% of net profit.
Okay.
And because if you simply do the math, if we gave away $275,000, then we made something between, I would say, $2,750,000 and probably $2.25 million, because we began by giving 10% of the gross, and then when we turned 20 years old, we upped it to 20% of the gross. And so we have made much, much more than we have given away.
How do you explain that? Do you have any way of explaining that to somebody who's really analytical and logical?
I think that
you're trying to convince other businesses to take you seriously about this, I'm sure you use these examples. What do they say to you? I don't believe it, or?
Well, I would have to say that the world is still in the process of coming to find out that we have done this.
Uh-huh.
And the skepticism, I think, is pretty low.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
It's very good. It gets back to something that I said initially, and that is that within the real estate profession, there is a level of competition which is extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And the convention within the real estate profession is to pay referral fees any time a referral is received from another broker.
Mm-hmm.
It is illegal for real estate licensees, I believe in all 50 states, to pay a referral fee to a non-licensed individual.
Okay.
But it's standard operating procedure for brokers to pay referral fees each and every time they get a referral from someone who is licensed. And the referral fees, I would say, are generally in the neighborhood of 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So we believe that if a real estate professional is willing to pay a referral fee any time the phone rings, why not organize investing in communities as we have in such a way that the cost to the real estate professional to participate in investing in communities is a fraction of the cost that they typically incur in the instance of a referral, and many more positive things also occur. And that's really what I mean by perpetual motion, and I think I should probably use a different metaphor. Investing in communities as it now exists is very much like 1 + 1 = 3 or possibly 4 or maybe even 5.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because when a dollar enters the system, it causes a number of benefits to occur, and then the same dollar exits the system, and yet all of those benefits have been achieved. And in that way, more is created than the cost. Another way to put it is that the benefit to each participant is some multiples what they might have to pay to be part of investing in communities.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. What does a company, a real estate company, have to pay investing in communities to be part of it?
Well, we call the real estate professional who becomes part of investing in communities a member.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, membership dues are $150 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Member benefits include a listing in a searchable database that we maintain at the website for professional members. We will have the ability for members to list all of their what are called product agencies. So if an agent or a broker is a member and they happen to list real estate for lease or for sale, they would be able to show all of those listings at Investing in Communities.
Mm-hmm.
We also create a featured member profile, which is a separate web page with its own URL that the member can use in their own promotional activities. All of that for the modest expense of $150 a year.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
And that generates visibility. And then as the visibility results in new business, there is a written pledge that's part of the member application, such that only in connection with an Investing in Communities transaction, the member will make available a minimum of 10% of their commission for their client to earmark for distribution through Investing in Communities to one or more of the IIC partnering NGOs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and so the partner or the member, what kind of detail has to go on in order for that transaction to be accomplished? Do they need to fill out certain forms with you at the transaction? Do they go through you somehow to make sure that this all works out legally?
Yeah, I'll explain that.
Okay.
That whole process.
All right.
We believe that we have ascertained accurately that investing in communities conforms with the License Act in all 50 states. And that is an issue that we had to work out as a result of the way in which we initially had conceived of the business practice. So we've put in place two different ways in which investing in communities can work. But that really has to do with the legalities of being a real estate licensee rather than with the logistics of how investing in communities
mm-hmm.
works to generate funds for NGO partners. The logistics within investing in communities we've built in order to maximize transparency, and we think that as a result of having created a system that we think is completely transparent, that the result is complete accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a system whereby a real estate transaction is registered within the investing community system. It's a simple process. All of this is facilitated through the website.
Okay.
And either the real estate member or the supporter of one of our partners, and the term that we use for a supporter of a partner is a friend of investing in communities. So we have individual friends and corporate friends of investing in communities. And another term for the friend is the client of the real estate member.
Mm-hmm.
So either the supporter of one of our partners, the client of the member, or the real estate member themselves can register the transaction. And that involves coming to our website, creating a file which identifies the transaction, the real estate member, the friend of IIC, the client of the real estate member.
Mm-hmm.
And the result is that an email is sent to the NGO partner or partners who have been selected either by the client of the real estate member or by the real estate member themselves.
Okay.
And so everyone now is on notice that a transaction has been initiated for the benefit of the earmarked NGO partner. And it becomes impossible, we feel, for anything to vary. There is a written pledge which would allow, if necessary, legal action to be taken to enforce the following through of the pledge.
Mm-hmm.
Investing in communities is making public the fact that these dollars are being earmarked not for the benefit of investing in communities, but for the benefit of the earmarked partner.
Mm-hmm.
And thereafter, the transaction ensues. Investing in communities is in no way involved, neither is the earmarked partner. When the transaction is completed, either the IIC friend or the real estate member will come back to the website, look up the registration file, and turn it into a registration receipt, because now for the first time the exact amount of the commission can be calculated.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore the pledged percentage is always a minimum of 10%, but it can be higher if the member and their client agree to it being higher. The dollar amount is calculated, and the real estate member will download that file, print it out, and mail it along with their check to Investing in Communities. Initially, we will be handling these transactions in-house. We've already set up lockbox services so that when we begin to scale and there's too much activity for us to really be able to do this in-house,
mm-hmm.
all of that's in place. And what happens when the check is received is that it will be deposited in the IIC account, and that triggers a second email being sent to the earmarked partner, the friend, the supporter of the partner, as well as to the real estate member, saying that the funds have been transmitted and they are now on deposit, earmarked according to the instructions, and they will be distributed initially as soon as the check clears, and then when we begin to scale, we think that we will have to have a specified schedule that probably will cause the funds to be distributed no less frequently than quarterly and probably no more frequently than every 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, Investing in Communities will retain no more than 8¾ cents from each earmarked dollar. It is our goal to, as soon as we are able to do it, for Investing in Communities not to retain any part of the earmarked dollar for its own operations, and instead to have all of the funds flow through IIC to fulfill its mission, which means that more and more of the dollar, even more than 91¼%, will be distributed to the earmarked partner. And there may be some involvement with the student engagement model, which we have not yet even hit on. And some of the funding for that may come from the 8.75%. We'll see how the enterprise develops.
Well, it sounds like you've really thought this through well and that you've got all the things set up in place that need to happen, and it's exciting. And I know you've been working primarily with members and partners in the Chicagoland area. Are you planning to expand this? You mentioned that you had investigated the real estate laws in all 50 states. I presume you want to expand this into all 50 states?
Indeed, we do. In fact, we feel that because this is web-based, that by definition, it really is national or international.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of bringing together partners and members and corporate friends and individual friends in other locations, but the machinery itself has no place. It is everywhere. Real estate is local, and we think what will happen is that the funding will be generated from a real estate transaction in a particular locale.
Mm-hmm.
In all likelihood, the individual or corporation whose transaction it is will be supporting an organization probably in that same locale. By law, the real estate professional has to be from that area.
Mm-hmm.
So the funding will be generated locally and for the most part distributed locally. But investing in communities, the web-based social enterprise will facilitate that happening everywhere.
Right.
Okay. We now have 165 partnering NGOs as of the end of last week, and something more than a third of those organizations are located in states ranging from Maine to Hawaii. One of the partners is based in Mexico, though it is a U.S. 501c3 entity.
Mm-hmm.
We have interest from real estate professionals in Canada, and we would expect investing in communities to scale into all places where real estate is a highly competitive profession. And that is tens of other countries at the least.
Mm-hmm. And how are you getting the word out? What is this part of the? I know your IIC isn't all that old, and you've been ramping it up. What's been your strategy for getting the word out mostly?
Well, the word really didn't get out at all while investing in communities was a business practice of MAP Real Estate.
Mm-hmm.
At most, it was word of mouth in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we created the website and we founded the nonprofit, really all of this has happened in the last 12 months, and most of it has happened probably in the last 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
The website has only existed for about 5 months, and I'm not sure that it was even safe to allow the public to go to it until probably 3.5 or 4 months ago. And at this point in time, we are engaging in social media, and we're learning how to do that. We are blogging and Twittering, and we have a Facebook page. But the real structure of investing in communities is such that it will be the community itself, communities everywhere, that will spread the word about IIC.
Mm-hmm.
And we have built what we call the partner toolbox. We will also have a member toolbox and a toolbox for friends. These are things that are available online. The Partner Toolbox is available online through one's partner account. And it isn't possible for investing in communities to contact the individual and corporate supporters of any NGO partner, much less all of them. Logistically, it isn't possible, and it isn't possible for reasons that have to do with wanting the funding stream to go to partners as opposed to being used up running the enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're relying on the website, which is something that we can control, to bring visibility to all participants, to our partners, to our professional members, to our corporate friends. All of those constituencies will be promoted to the best of our ability by investing in communities through the website.
Mm-hmm.
And we will do that through the featured partner profile, the featured member profile, both of which now exist, and we will build a featured corporate friend profile. We think that the individual supporters of our partners would prefer to remain anonymous, and so we will not be promoting them unless they specifically say that we should or can.
Mm-hmm.
And the partners themselves will be promoting the fact of their partnership in investing in communities to their respective base of support.
Mm-hmm.
Were it not the case that these organizations are in communication with their supporter base, they wouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And we've found from what our partners have told us, and this is on the basis of only three sessions that we have conducted in Chicago for the benefit of partners here, a total of approximately 22 partners attended those sessions and without exception voiced strenuously the importance to each of their organizations that investing in communities visibility affords them. It is not just the funding. And so we are learning that investing in communities is not just about generating funding for partners. It is also about generating visibility.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, the visibility is something which will result in the new business being driven to professional members.
Right.
And we hope to drive business also to corporate friends. And in that way, we want to promote the idea of doing business, doing good. And in a fundamental sense, that is the way in which we are promoting social awareness and social responsibility. We want to cause profitable commerce itself to become the source of philanthropy, a significant source of philanthropy. And to the extent that commerce itself does fund philanthropy, then this will scale indefinitely and in perpetuity.
And really, it's a more beneficial avenue, path, I think, than the, you know, traditional grant application to a foundation who pretty much has decided who they're going to give to most of the time and keeps giving to those. This offers the opportunity, this strategy offers the opportunity for NGOs who might not, who may be very new or not have the track record that oftentimes a foundation requires in a grant proposal, to obtain money. And so it gives a level playing field, I see, to a lot of NGOs. I mean, it's just a very interesting concept in how many ways it offers fairness. And, you know, I just think it's ingenious, and I love it. And I love the fact that I'm so much into cause partnering, and it's kind of a difficult benefit analysis to offer businesses sometimes because they don't see the tangible dollars and cents bottom line that they're used to when you start talking about, you know, why they should partner with an NGO or why they should, you know, be a little bit more socially responsible in this economy. You know, they're all always looking for more money and not ways to spend it. So I like the, I think, of course, the more success you have and the more members you have involved, then the more testimonials you'll have that sure. will sell others on it.
Sure.
Has that been the, tell me what you think are the biggest, maybe the biggest struggle for you in launching this initiative?
Well, it's a chicken and egg problem that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We need to show the world of NGOs that the I'm struggling for exactly how to articulate this, that the relationship that they can have with investing in communities, which, by the way, comes at no expense to the NGO.
Oh, I was going to make that point. Yeah, I knew that.
That this is not a cause marketing relationship at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
Investing in communities is a fellow or sister NGO, after all. We are not a for-profit entity.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not selling a product or a service. We're not seeking to affiliate the investing in communities mark with the mark of an NGO for any reason other than to promote that NGO.
Mm-hmm.
That's very different than cause marketing as I understand it.
Well, and if I could clarify, I'm thinking not IIC as the cause partner, but the real estate member is really more of the cause partner in this case.
Yes.
And IIC is kind of a facilitator
yes,
kind of role.
Precisely. We think of investing in communities as, this is not a very delicate way to express it, but as connective tissue.
Yeah. Yeah.
We believe that investing in communities will prove to become the social ecology, and it will organize NGOs, the three constituencies that we discussed, NGOs, individual and corporate supporters of NGOs, and the world of professionals, beginning with real estate, in a way that gives each much greater benefit than the cost that any of them pays to be a participant. NGOs pay nothing. They get visibility and a new source of unrestricted funding with no development expense. The individual supporters get a new way to support their favorite organization at no personal expense. But here's the key part. The corporate supporter of an NGO partner, what we call a corporate friend of IIC, pays nothing to support their favorite organizations. In the typical sense of cause marketing, the corporation which matches its brand with the brand of an NGO does so at a significant expense. And that is how the NGO benefits. In the case of investing in communities, the corporations that will cause their respective real estate transactions to work this way will be generating significant funding, and it's unrestricted, for NGOs, but the funding doesn't come at the expense of that corporation. And now I'm getting to answer the question of the challenge in the specific instance of real estate professionals. Although the philanthropy occurs solely at the expense of the IIC member, we believe that it is not some hardship that's being perpetrated on real estate professionals. It isn't even, in a sense, necessary for the real estate professional to feel particularly interested in philanthropy or supporting organizations from the perspective of the professional member.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think this is a bad thing. We think that this is actually one of the fundamental strengths of investing in communities model. The real estate professional need be interested in nothing more than competing for business and winning the business assignment. But because of the way IIC has been organized, the expense to secure the business for which a member might be competing is not the same as the expense that they are now incurring to acquire new business. And that would not be a bad thing if the expense were the same and it were generating societal benefit. It's better than that because the expense is actually lower than the typical business acquisition cost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really in all of those ways that investing in communities to us seems to be an instance of 1 + 1 equaling a lot more than 2.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge for us is in bringing together the 3 core constituencies, because until they come together, I'm afraid, a very real sense, investing in communities might fairly be said not to be working and not really to exist. The one qualification to that is one of the greatest benefits to NGOs from investing in communities, and that is visibility. Even without the participation of any real estate member, and without the participation yet of individuals and corporations, the NGO partners are benefiting from visibility, which they would not have were it not for the presence that the IIC website affords them. And that's what we've been told by those 22 partners who have attended the sessions in Chicago.
I see. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
But still, it's the case that we need to educate NGOs so that they understand this is not the typical cause marketing scenario, and we need to educate corporations to show that they are able to generate this important funding not at their expense, and we need to educate professionals, beginning with real estate, that their participation in IIC as really the funding entity doesn't come at their expense. It's
mm-hmm.
actually a windfall to them
mm-hmm.
because they gain visibility at an expense lower than what they would possibly be paying now to generate the same level of visibility. That's the $150 annual membership dues. And then when business results from their membership, it costs them a fraction of what a typical referral fee costs. And I have a feeling that it will prove to cost a fraction of what generally the expense of business acquisition is. We think that those professionals who subscribe to the idea of doing business, doing good, and become IIC members will win in every way, even though they are funding the philanthropy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, there is a slight difference in the terminology between cause marketing and cause definition between cause partnering and cause marketing. I tend to believe that cause marketing has more to do with, someone buys one of your products that has the logo of a nonprofit on it or something, or your percentage of that sale goes back to the nonprofit. Cause partnering tends to be more broad-based in its application and may not necessarily involve any particular product. It may actually be more of a in-kind service sort of thing, or offering some exposure to a nonprofit on their website, more passive in many ways.
Uh-huh.
And so when I promote cause partnering, I'm talking about a whole gamut of opportunities that allow a business to expand its exposure to a new client base.
Uh-huh. And so IIC falls somewhere on that spectrum.
Yeah, and so yeah, when I say cause partnering, that's what I mean.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, I do often have to define that because cause marketing is so popular and doesn't necessarily offer the nonprofit community a greater benefit, as they've been coming out with studies lately saying that people are changing the way they're giving if they buy a product. That's a cause-marketed product that lessens their donations in other areas. And so it might be a windfall for the business community, but it's not so much so for the nonprofit community, whereas what you're doing is definitely multi-beneficial to an NGO and that community, and I really like it. Our time's growing short here. What can you just wrap up maybe what the goals and objectives for IIC are maybe for the next year or two, and
sure.
And then how we can connect with you if we have questions.
Yeah, the plan is to continue scaling nationally and internationally in terms of the revenue model, which is really everything that we have been discussing. And then as soon as it makes sense, we're hoping that that will be in 2012, we would like to resume work on what we call the student engagement model, because the reason behind investing in communities and the way in which we would like to change the world is by bringing young people into investing in communities so that they will be engaged, and this will all be done through the website. They will undertake some type of learning exercise at the website. Completing that will enable them to be eligible to cast a vote in an online election. We would like to have as many of these elections as we can. We think that it's in the context of the student engagement model that investing in communities will become individualized in one community as compared to the way it works in a different community. Ultimately, we would like to see this involve kids from graduate school down into the lowest grades of grade school. And
what would they be voting on?
Well, depending upon the age of the student, and this will all be organized so that it's age appropriate, we think that, well, the elections will be to distribute some investing in communities revenues among a slate of candidate organizations, which will be drawn from among the ranks of IIC NGO partners. And it may be the case that the younger students would be involved in a primary election to identify the focus area, and then the next older students might be involved in a primary to identify the slate of candidates who would be in the final election in order to get the actual funding.
Okay.
And
so these are NGOs they're voting on.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And
okay.
We want the students to be involved with adult members of the investing in communities world. And that will, in all likelihood, involve the professional members and corporate friends and individual friends whose real estate transactions have worked this way. And in that way, we would like to think that we can have the effect of causing students with their peers and with those who are younger and those who are older, people in school, interacting with people in the business world, all around social responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So the plan is to scale the revenue model and then the student engagement model internationally to the best of our efforts.
I see. Great. Great. Well, and so there's anybody listening to this podcast has to have their head going 1,000 miles an hour. Trying to think of, all the possibilities here, and I'm sure they have questions. How would someone get a hold of you the best?
The best way would be through the website, which is iiconline.org, and I can be contacted at mp@iiconline.org, and that's how we can be reached.
Okay, just your initials, mp@iiconline.org. Okay. Yeah. And are there any other events that you have planned in the Chicago area where you're going to be meeting with NGOs again, or maybe business community that people can look into? Or
yeah.
Are there regular meetings that you're planning to hold that people could show up at?
Well, the afternoon one-hour sessions that we've been conducting, we will continue to conduct, at least in Chicago, where it's easy to get together with partners. And that's something that one is invited to attend. So by becoming a partner, that's how that happens. And then we will be doing something a little bit unusual. At least it's the case that we had not foreseen that this is how we would distribute funds. We built into investing in communities fundamentally donor direction. But a transaction was recently completed for a corporate friend whose business causes it to be unable to select the NGO partners that would receive the funding because this corporation does business with too many NGO customers to be able to select just a few to receive the funds.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of that, we are going to conduct a random drawing to award a total of $42,000. This results from a single real estate transaction. The largest award will be $10,000, and we'll divide the $32,000 into a number of smaller awards. But it isn't necessary to be present for that. It's simply necessary to have become a partner in investing in communities prior to the cutoff date before that drawing. We think that the drawing will occur sometime in August. And we probably are going to have to, just for practical reasons, have a cutoff for a partner's name to be entered in the drawing that might be 2 weeks before the drawing date.
So it really pays to be a partner. You never know when something like this might happen again.
It does.
Fabulous. And to become a partner, an NGO partner, what do they need to do?
Well, they need to come to our website. Go to the navigation panel and click on the partner application. Creating a partner account, which really is to identify username, password, and just a few other things, and then get to the application itself. It takes about 11 minutes to complete the whole thing. The only item which is external to the online application is an electronic file which has to be uploaded to actually complete the application submission process, and that is a scan of the applicant's IRS 501c3 letter.
Mm-hmm.
There is no cost involved in the application whatsoever.
Okay. Fabulous. Well, that sounds easy enough.
Yeah.
For real estate members, it's also an online application?
Yes.
Okay.
And the applicant specifies such things as the license number, the type of real estate in which they specialize. There is the written pledge to make available a minimum of 10% of only IIC-related commissions for earmarking. It is very possible. We realized it was important to modify the way we had structured things initially so that now a real estate professional is very free to state that they prefer their philanthropy to benefit either a particular focus area or areas, or even a specific NGO partner or partners. The application is short and simple. And we think it's important for real estate professionals to identify NGOs in their communities or NGOs that are important to them and invite them to become partners, just as it's important for the partners to become familiar with real estate professionals in their area who might be inclined when their client says, gee, why don't you decide which organization would be the beneficiary, so that those real estate professionals might be inclined to select that particular NGO.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought of that, but that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Well, Michael, this has just been so informative, and as much as I knew already about IIC, I've really had it enhanced today. And I hope that because this will be podcasted, people can play it over and over and really, really start to absorb the concept and buy into it and get involved and get excited about it. And it will be, the concept will be included in the new updated version of The Power of One when it comes out later in 2011. And I'm just excited to have had you connect with me through, I think it was LinkedIn, and that we've gotten to know each other. And even though I'm in the very southern part of this country, it's great that we can learn to connect or figure out how to connect with each other and share these wonderful ideas.
Yep.
Thank you for taking the time. I hope everyone goes out to iiconline.org and connects with Michael.
Thank you very much.
Bye.